I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It has been recorded in the book of James, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 2, 3, and 4, and then we will go down to verse 12 and pick up our reading of the scripture. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the victor's crown, the life God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During these past 8 weeks, we have been considering what Jesus taught his disciples about how to pray. We've been doing that because we recognize how vitally important prayer is in our daily lives. You know, over the years, as I have had an opportunity to deal with people, I've made this discovery that the desire to pray is instinctive. Oh, we may fail to pray when life is serene and things are going our way. But you let trouble come. You let things go wrong at school or with the family or in personal relationships or where we work or with our friends. And we lose no time in turning to God to pray about it. Do you remember how the old farmer said it? "Don't pray much," he said, "but when I get in a bind to do." You know what he means? When we are in a tight spot, when we are up against it, the circumstances run beyond our ability to handle it, we lose no time in turning to God to pray. And that's the truth, because the desire to pray is so instinctive. And when trouble comes, at least, we're going to pray. Let me remind you this morning that people pray for a lot of different reasons. Some people pray because they think they ought to. The scripture says that we are to come to God in prayer, and they want to be obedient to that, and so they do it. Others pray, well, because everybody else is doing it, and they don't want to feel left out or anybody to think that they are some strange duck. Others pray because they're in trouble. Some people pray because they are not in trouble. But you know, when you get right down to it, prayer is our connecting link with God. It is the means by which we come into the very presence of the living God, and we come to worship him and to share life with him, and where he meets us there to receive our worship and to pour the abundance of his love and of his grace in our lives. And in this union, there is a bonding in which we come into the experience of the wonder and the grace of being the children of God and being a member of the covenant family. Well, there was a day when the children of Israel recognized how important prayer was. They recognized that because they had watched Jesus and they had seen the connection between the way he lived and the way he prayed. And so one day they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Well, we have been looking at the answer that Jesus gave to that question. And as we've looked at this prayer, we've made an important discovery. In the prayer, Jesus tells us that we have the privilege of praying for our own personal needs. The fact of the matter is, he tells us there is at least three things we can pray for when we are praying for our personal needs. First of all, we can pray for the food we need every day. Our physical food as well as our spiritual food. Well, we've already looked at that. The second thing we can pray for is the grace to receive God's forgiveness for our sins, and then the willingness to forgive other people when they sin against us. We've already looked at that. This morning, we want to look at the third thing Jesus says we can pray for when we pray for our personal needs, and it is this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, this petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is perhaps the most difficult part of the prayer for us to understand. And the reason it is so difficult is because of this word, temptation. You see, when we hear the word temptation, we immediately think of someone trying to get us to do something that is wrong. And when it is suggested, as it seems to be in this petition, that it is God who is trying to get us to do something that's wrong, that's more than we can take. We simply don't believe it, and we cannot buy it. For whatever else we might believe about God, we do not believe that God is going to try to get us to do something wrong. And you know, Scripture backs us up. This is what James had to say. Let no one say when he is tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. And so when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, and if it is not God who is going to tempt us, what do you imagine he's talking about? Well, there is a great man of God of another generation. His name was John Calvin. Many people consider John Calvin to be one of the fathers of the faith. If you've been a part of the Presbyterian Church and involved in the Reformed faith very long, you know what an important part that John Calvin plays in our history. Well, John Calvin gives us help here. He reminds us that when we come to understand Scripture, the way we do that is to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And this is what that means. If there is a passage of Scripture, and it is difficult for us to understand its meaning, there is another Scripture that will speak to the same subject, and it will give us some light and help us understand it. Well, that's true here. Let's see for a moment. In the Scriptures, there are two words that are translated temptation. One word means to seduce us to evil. The other means to test our strength and loyalty. The second word is also translated temptations, trials, testings, provings. Now, let me share with you an important part of our Christian faith. The God we worship and we serve is the sovereign Lord. And because he is sovereign, it means two very special things to us. First of all, because God is sovereign, it means that he has created everything there is. And the amazing thing is that he did it from nothing. He simply spoke, and it was. Go back and read the opening page of the Scripture, and you will see. God said, "Let there be light." There was light. He said, let there be day and night. There was day and night. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And man appeared. But there's a second important truth. The fact that God is sovereign not only means that he created everything, but it also means that he controls everything that he created. And did you know he continues to control it with the spoken word? You remember when Jesus was here? He was God come in human flesh, and he demonstrated that. He commanded the winds, "Be still," and there was a great calm. He called to Lazarus, "Come forth," and a dead man stepped into life. He spoke to the evil spirit, come out of the man. And a demonic was as gentle as a child. He created everything that there is, and now he controls everything that he created. And that is what this means to you and me. The fact that God is sovereign, the fact that he is in control, simply means that when you and I belong to him in Jesus Christ, nothing will ever happen in our lives by chance or accident. Everything that happens in our lives will happen because he directed it to happen or he permitted it to happen. And under either circumstance, he does it for his glory and for our good. Look at it like this. God will allow Satan to tempt us. Satan's purpose is to seduce us to evil. God's purpose is to test our strength and our loyalty. I want to give you two examples so that you will understand what I'm talking about. On the pages of the Old Testament, there is a tremendous man whose name is Job. The scriptures describe Job as a blameless man who was upright and feared God, and he turned away from evil. One day Satan appeared in heaven, and he had a conversation with the Lord. And in the course of the conversation, God said to Satan, there's no man on earth like my servant Job. And Satan answered, do you think he fears you for nothing? After all, you have blessed him and you have increased his land. The day you raise your hand against him, he will curse you to your face. You remember the story? God gave Satan permission to tempt Job. He could do anything he wanted, except he could not take his life. Man, Satan went to work. He killed his cattle and his servants. He inflicted Job with sores. He killed his children, and through the whole of that experience, Job never stopped loving and honoring the Lord. And eventually, the Lord restored to Job everything that he had. You see, Satan tempted him to seduce him to evil. God tested him to test his strength and his loyalty, and Job passed the test. But there's another man on the pages of the New Testament. His name is Peter. Right at the end of the story, Jesus called his disciples aside, and he said, the time has come that I will go to the cross. I'm going to suffer and die. And when that happens, all of you will forsake me and flee. It was Peter who spoke up, though all forsake you, I will not. I will go with you even to death. That very night, Jesus was on trial before the Sanhedrin, and Peter was in the courtyard below. And Peter was put to the test by a little servant girl. Satan tempted him to seduce him to evil. God tested him to test his strength and his loyalty, and Peter failed the test. And he denied that he even knew the name of Jesus. But by the grace of God, that failure did not destroy Peter. Because Jesus met him on the shores of Galilee, forgave him, and restored him. And he came back as the rock. But let me tell you, that is the thing that happens to you and me today. We make a strong profession of our faith. We make a commitment to follow the Lord in some specific way, and almost immediately the test is going to come. Satan will be tempting us to seduce us to evil. God will be testing us to test our strength and our loyalty. That is why we come to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because this is what we are praying. Lord, do not permit Satan to seduce us to evil. You give us the grace to overcome the evil one and to stand strong in you. Now, in light of that, we need to ask ourselves two questions. How are we to deal with these times of temptations and testings? Well, this is what the Scripture says. James was writing one day, and he said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Well, that was Jesus. In this world, you are going to suffer tribulation. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For there is Peter. In this greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may endure all kinds of trials. For there is Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let me remind you something. These men did not say, count it all joy if you fall into trials and temptations. It said, count it all joy when you fall into trials and temptations. The fact of the matter is, trials and temptations and testings are coming to us. But over and over we are reminded that this experience for the man and the woman of God is a time to count it all joy and to rejoice. In reality, the word literally means get happy about it. Well, I don't know how you feel about that, but man, that sounds absolutely incredible to me. The times that I have had to endure temptations and trials and testings have always been very unpleasant times. There has been pain and heartache and grief and disappointment, and I have not felt very happy about that. And yet here's the Word of God, and it makes no bones about it. In times of trials, get happy. Well, that brings us to the second question. What is the purpose of these trials and temptations that come to us? And when we can understand that, then it is possible for us to rejoice and to be happy. See, the Scriptures remind us that the purpose of temptations and trials and testings is to test our faith, to reveal what is in our hearts, and to bring us to wholeness and life in Him. The purpose of these temptations and trials and testings is not to make us fall, it is to make us soar. It is not to make us weaker, it is to make us stronger. It is not to defeat us, it is so that we can defeat them. The purpose for God permitting them to come into our lives is to test our strength and our loyalty. And when in the power of the Holy Spirit we overcome, it is then that we can mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. And so we pause to look at our lives this morning. And so many times, every corner we turn is a trial or a temptation or a test. And we are so weary. And then we remember that Satan's purpose is to turn us to evil. God's purpose is to test our strength and our loyalty. And we know that it is impossible for us to stand alone. We can only stand in Him. And so we can come to join Jesus in the prayer that He gives to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do not permit Satan to seduce us to evil in these dark times, but you give us the grace to overcome and to stand victorious in you. And God comes to meet us, and with our hand in His, we walk through that experience, and we do that victoriously. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.